At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Stuart Arnott, who's worked extensively in the West End, specialising in large-scale technical musicals. He was the stage manager for the original London production of The Phantom of the Opera. His memoir, Beginners to the Stage, Please, Secrets of Life Backstage in London's Magical West End, shares his journey in the theatre, how the industry works, and the psychology of performers and audiences. Welcome to the show, Stuart.
Hello, Hannah. Thank you for having me on your show. It's lovely to talk to you.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Thank you for joining us. And I'm guessing this must have been a really fun book to put together, to look back over your life in the theatre.
It was indeed. I had 40 years working in the theatre, and as people find out when they read the book, lots of fun stories. It was a thrilling time to really be working in the West End. Putting it together was an absolute joy. I felt that after 40 years, I thought, well, I know the industry well enough that I should be able to evoke the atmosphere of what life is really like working backstage. And I thought that was something that readers might be interested in. A lot of people, are theatre fans, love going to see shows, and don't always think of what's happening behind the scenes. And of course, when you're watching a show, you shouldn't really think of what's happening behind the scenes. You should just take in the spectacle and enjoy what's happening. But, people do think about it and wonder what's going on. So I thought, it'd be nice to put that together for people and actually give them a bit of an insight into life in the theatre.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's true. You only want to really think about what you're watching on stage, but the amount of people that goes into putting a show together, and these shows wouldn't happen if it wasn't for all the backstage people.
That's right. I mean, on Phantom, when Phantom was running, there was a total of 170 people in the building working. So
wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's everybody from front of house to backstage, on stage in the orchestra pit, everybody. But just to make Phantom happen takes 170 people. And of course, that means there are more people than that employed, because people have days off, people have holidays, some people are sick, So there's actually a larger pool of people than that, that it takes to do Phantom. So, they really are huge, huge operations, these shows. I always call them juggernauts. I always say, when the juggernaut that is Phantom starts rolling, nothing's going to stop it.
Yeah. And before we talk about Phantom, I want to go back to your kind of beginnings in the theatre. How and why did you want to get involved in the theatre?
Well, I got sort of dragged in by my mum into amateur operatics. But the moment I got involved and started to learn what was involved in putting on a show, I just got hooked. I very quickly discovered that, as we've been saying, there's a lot more goes on behind the scenes than happens on stage. And that, for me, was really thrilling, really exciting. And so I wanted to, you know, be a part of making that happen. So I did lots of amateur shows. Then I went to university. I did French and linguistics, so nothing theatre related. But of course, in my spare time, I was doing amateur shows at university. And by then I was working in my holidays in the West End, tearing tickets and stage door and so on. And I reached a point where I thought, you know, I really want to take this professionally. I want to do more than, you know, just a holiday job. So after I finished at university, I then went to drama school, to Mountview Theatre School, to study stage management and technical theatre, to get a proper training and a qualification. And then that, of course, led to, well, everything else.
Yeah, amazing. So did you never want to be on the stage? Did you ever try any performing yourself?
Only as part of those amateur shows when I was very young. And I very quickly discovered it's not for me. I'm not a natural performer, but I love the theatre environment. And I love, as I say, being part of putting the whole thing together. So rather than being out there in front of the audience, I like to be behind stage making it all happen and making sure that everything runs just as it should and the audience gets the show that they've come to see. I love having, you know, a finger in every single pie, basically.
Yeah, brilliant. So for anyone who doesn't know, what is the role of the stage manager? What did that mean for you doing that for Phantom?
Well, it's a very, very wide-ranging job. Really, I guess, you're coordinating all the other departments and making sure that everything runs smoothly. The stage management team is made up of, well, there's the stage manager who has the overall sort of global view of the show. Then the deputy stage manager is the person who cues the show. So everything doesn't just happen as a show's running. There's one person cueing all the effects, you know, the lighting changes, the scenery changes, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's one person who coordinates all of that, and that's part of the stage management team. And then there are assistant stage managers who will be in the wings and around various places backstage, doing things, moving things around, getting things ready, clearing them away when they're finished on stage. So that's kind of what stage management do during a show. But the real crux of it is coordinating all the departments and making sure that everything comes together. A friend of mine described being a stage manager as like being the conductor of an orchestra, but for a show, in that you're not actually playing any instruments, but you're making sure everything happens as it should and when it should. And that's quite a good analogy. I really like that. And that sums up kind of what's involved in stage managing.
Yeah. So do people tend to come to you if something's gone wrong or they can't find a prop or a piece of costume or something?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, costume, they would probably go to somebody from wardrobe. But when things go wrong, and things do go wrong with live performances, you know, it's we're all human. The human element really does play a part in it. So when things go wrong, it really is the stage manager's job to decide what we're going to do to get around the problem. On Phantom, we had hundreds and hundreds of plan Bs for just about every little scenario. Because the show ran for so long, we'd encountered just about every problem. Not quite every problem, but nearly every problem. So we had loads of plan Bs, some of them just minor little details, some of them a lot more major. But yeah, that old cliche of the show must go on really does exist. And when things go wrong, it's up to the stage manager, as I say, to decide what's going to happen to get past the problem. And then, of course, that means the stage management team, as well as the stage manager, need to communicate all that information to all the relevant people so that everybody knows what the changes are that are being made. And to make sure that all of those changes can happen nice and smoothly.
Yeah.
So that's quite a big part of the job, I have to say.
Definitely. And, you know, obviously the thing with theatre compared to TV and film is that it's live. You don't go retake. No, the director doesn't stand up. Stop. Go back a bit. Go, you know, that can never happen. It just is what it is on the night. And that can be very nerve-wracking for people, not just the cast, but also the production team. As you say, if something goes wrong, you've got to deal with it there and then without interrupting the performance.
That's right. You really have to be ready to make changes on the hoof and just, you know, make sure that everything happens. There's kind of a bit of a dichotomy with stage management in that you have to have great attention to detail and make sure that everything is exactly as it should be. But if something's suddenly different at the last moment, you just need to change tack and go with what's new and what's different and make that work and not get too hung up on if it's different to how it normally is. So you have to kind of have be able to do both of those things at the same time.
Yeah, I've been involved in theatre myself, and I think one of the funniest things to happen is to do with cues for sound, like particularly phones and things. You know, the audience always have sympathy and find it hilarious if the phone's ringing and then the actor picks up the phone, but then the phone's still ringing. Things like that are always really funny, even though they shouldn't happen, obviously.
Yeah, well, those things are what make each individual show different from all the others. Each audience goes away having seen a slightly different show. Although, as I say, you know, we try absolutely bust a gut to make sure that everything's exactly as it should be. But every show has a different vibe, a different feel. Audiences react differently. You know, there's always something different from one performance to another. People used to say to me, you know, oh, how do you manage to do the same show 8 times a week? Doesn't it get really boring? Well, as I say, every show is different. It really doesn't get boring. You really have to be very much in the moment and dealing with what's happening in front of you. And so you don't really have time to get bored.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You've got to be concentrating at all times. You can't be distracted because you might miss something and then it all falls apart.
That's exactly right. And especially, you know, if something goes wrong from my perspective as the stage manager, if something were to go wrong, I need to be absolutely on top of that and ready to react, you know, at a split second's notice and make sure that we can keep things running. So yeah, you definitely have to have an awful lot of focus and really, really pay attention to what's not only what you're doing, but everything else that's happening around you as well.
Yeah. So can you share a funny story that's in the book about something that went wrong?
Well, I don't know that I actually talk too much in the book about specific things that went wrong. But the one thing that always tickled me was back in the day, the boat in the Phantom of the Opera. I think most listeners will know that there's a boat that moves around the stage in the show. And it wasn't in a track. It was just driven free around the stage with a handheld remote control unit. And back in the day, the radio signal was the old-fashioned analog signal. So occasionally, if a taxi went past the building and just happened to be on the wrong frequency, the boat would pick up the signals and would veer off in the weirdest of directions. or even if it had stopped and was parked, as we would call it, and was supposed to be still during a scene, it would just suddenly start moving of its own accord. And there was nothing anything that any of us could do about it because it was getting the signals from outside the building. So some of the phantoms would get really irate about that. Some of them were very good at just dealing with it. But that's, you know, that always used to tickle us because, as I say, there was just nothing we could do about it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You'd want and hope there to be a solution for every problem, but sometimes there isn't one.
But yeah, sometimes there isn't. And you just have to, you know, say, well, it's live theatre. That's the nature of it. These things will happen, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And again, the actor, I suppose everybody's different. I mean, the idea is that you'd never come out of character, but that might be difficult at times like that. So to have a little sort of look at the audience might be hilarious. The moment that people talk about for years, even though they know that it shouldn't have happened.
Yes, I think people have, you know, every performer is different, and some would never, ever come out of character. Others would, as you say, just, you know, raise an eyebrow or something just to, you know, acknowledge that something bizarre has happened and then, you know, carry on with the show. Sometimes, actually, by doing that, by acknowledging it, you put it to bed and it doesn't spoil the rest of the show. It's done and dusted then, rather than hanging over everybody. So, you know, different performers are different and deal with it differently. Of course, the performers are the ones out on stage having to do that and decide, you know, with how they're going to react with an audience. We're all backstage in the wings, and so we have the luxury of having a little giggle if we want to.
And I don't expect you to name names, obviously, but presumably with all the different actors and people that you've worked with over the years, some will have been nicer and easier to work with than others.
Oh, definitely. I mean, in the book, I make a point of saying I'm not going to name people who I had negative encounters with. So I change names or don't even mention names if that's the case. Because sometimes even those negative encounters, you know, they were worth putting in the book because there were lessons for me to learn from them. You know, things that I could take on board and learn for how I worked as a stage manager. So they were valid experiences, but I didn't want to be bad-mouthing people and, you know, being unpleasant in the book. So, yeah, people I had bad encounters with, I don't name in the book. But there are so many people that I had really lovely encounters with. So many. I couldn't even begin to name names right now, but they're all in the book. There's lots of lovely stories in the book about, you know, experiences I had with people that were, you know, were really lovely. And again, that I learned from. That's the point of all the stories in the book. I try not to just tell a story for the sake of telling a story. I try to use each story to illustrate some aspect of the business and how things work.
Yeah. And I mean, even though you're concentrating on your job and what you need to do, sometimes you must get mesmerized with what's happening on stage. I mean, watching Michael Crawford sing Music of the Night must have made you and other people working backstage emotional from time to time.
Well, you learn to deal with that. And you when you're learning the show, that's when you go through all of that. Kind of like if you think, you know, performers manage to perform sad songs, for example, without bursting into tears. There's a technique to it. Yeah. You work through the emotion in the rehearsal situation so that it then becomes just something that you know how to do. And also, you know, the responsibility is on the stage manager to absolutely be focused on the performance and ready to deal with anything. So you really can't afford to let yourself drift and just sit back and enjoy the performance. You know, you really have to be focused at all times.
Yeah. One of the things you talk about in the book, that you look at the psychology of not just the performance but also the audiences. How do you get into the mind of the audience?
Well, that's really all about we kind of have a contract with every audience member to deliver the show that they've paid to come and see. And theatre tickets aren't cheap, so it's, you know, it is actually a serious business. And providing the audience with what they're expecting. So that's really what I talk about there is the stuff, like I was saying at the very beginning of our chat, about how the audience shouldn't really be aware of all the mechanics of how we make the shows happen. So you try our absolute utmost to make sure that we deliver the show that they have come to see. And, you know, that really is absolutely paramount. I mean, I think that I'd say towards the end of the book, one of the biggest lessons that I learned was that the most important person in a theatre isn't any of the stars, it isn't any of the staff, it's the audience. The audience are the most important thing in any show, really, you know, because they're the focus of what we're doing.
Yeah, lovely. And some really nice comments for the book from Craig Revel Horwood. He had some lovely words to say.
Yes, well, Craig and I are old friends. We did a couple of shows together and we're really quite good friends back in the time. I contacted him and asked if he'd put something together for me, and he very kindly wrote me a very glowing endorsement for the book. So I was delighted, of course, to have his name on the cover saying such nice things.
Definitely. It's a 10 from me, darling, he said.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. And I love the title as well. That's something that you have to say as stage manager, isn't it? Beginners to the Stage, Please.
That's right. Well, the title actually does quite a bit of work in the book, because it's a call that goes out at the beginning of a show to get everyone in position to start the show. So everyone who's all involved in the first scene or two needs to be in place before we can actually start, so we know that everything will happen when we actually start the show. But also the book's aimed partly at people who are just starting out or even just thinking of starting out a career in the theatre. I try to encourage people to believe in themselves and believe that if you are dreaming of a career in the theatre, you really can make it happen. After all, we were all beginners once, but that's where the title really does its work.
Yeah, nice. I have to say, just seeing the words and hearing the words automatically gives me butterflies. Because it would always make you go, okay, here we go. And the nerves kick in immediately, and the excitement.
Yeah. And on it, like I was saying before, on a big show like Phantom, you know, once it starts, it doesn't stop. It really is a juggernaut. And once it starts rolling, it's going to keep going. It's not going to stop for any individual. So you do really do need to be ready.
Yeah, lovely. Well, if people want to get a copy of Beginners to the Stage, please, it's available on our website, tre.radio. And it's by Stuart Arnott, who we've been chatting with. Stuart, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.